98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to highestprice.com. That's highestprice.com.
Oh, it's that time of the morning where we take a look at what's going on our social media, specifically Twitter, at Bickley underscore Marotta. The big stories of the day, some goofiness from Jarrett, of course. It's Social Studies with Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
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 Vince Marotta, you summed it up well there.
Thank you.
Hi.
Gosh, I am so impressed.
Hi.
Your detour, Dan.
Hi.
Is transcendent.
It really is. Yeah.
I think it's the best one I've ever heard.
Seriously, if you ever listen to the morning or evening traffic reports on KTAR News, that's Detour Dan right there. My goodness.
That man's a legend, by the way.
Truly. Let's get to the Phoenix Suns. Guys, we've had a couple days to reflect now and let the intense emotion from the Game 7 loss wear off a little bit. Or maybe just speaking for myself. So we'll start with this open-ended question. What is the biggest reason the Phoenix Suns failed in the playoffs?
Open-ended?
Yes.
Oof. It's all speculation. I will point at late bubbling chemistry issues.
How about that? The marginalization or deconstruction of their top three players, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton.
There you go.
The production, the declining production of all three.
Yeah. Some of our listener responses. Let's start with Sundress Dunks. He says arrogance is what took the Suns out of the playoffs. It made them unprepared and unable to adjust. Braxton says, we don't talk enough about how the Mavericks had one of the best records in the league from the All-Star break on. That seems important, he says. Mike Paris just posts a black and white photo of Frank Kaminsky. R.I.P. Not actually, but since...
I'm guaranteeing there's more Suns fans than just Mike who believe
speaking
that.
Of, yeah, speaking of Frank Kaminsky, to get back to your point from the last segment about Pat Beverly and his idea that nobody in the Suns came at him, patently ludicrous, except Frank Kaminsky was the one guy who could have jacked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have gotten suspended and it would have been okay.
Yes.
Is it worth it, though?
Probably not.
I mean, you saw the movie Seven, right?
I did.
The last scene when Morgan Freeman is pleading with Brad Pitt, don't do it. If you do it, he wins. If Frank Kaminsky responds, Patrick Beverly
someone's
wins.
Someone's heads in a box. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. That movie's over 20 years old.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
J-Rod Cards says, this is why the Suns failed in the playoffs. Devin Booker is not mature enough to lead. DeAndre Ayton is not aggressive enough to be what the Suns need. Chris Paul is softer than we all think he is. And then there's poor coaching, poor leadership, and poor attitude all around. So he is just burning everyone, J-Rod Cards is.
Man.
You guys agree with any of
that? There might be elements of truth in all of that. I do think that keep in mind, this is Devin Booker's second postseason. His first went all the way to the NBA Finals. There might be a learning curve there still.
Okay.
The Chris Paul thing, we haven't gotten into it today. I think we're going to get into it tomorrow. There's elements to Chris Paul that has burnt out a lot of people he's played with everywhere he's been, and I don't think we can just turn our back on that.
Sure.
And the DA thing, there's no doubt. The lack of force kind of reared its head again. I was really expecting him to turn it back on in this postseason like he did last year. Being so close to that max deal, I really can't fathom what I saw from him down the stretch.
Man, yeah, it's true. And if you really are wanting that max deal, what are you putting out there for other teams if you want to go elsewhere too?
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to get too far away from this point.
Mm-hmm.
In games 6 and 7, the Dallas Mavericks were in every way a superior basketball team to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another team involved in this, too. And they're playing a basketball game tonight, so you got to give them credit.
Yeah. All right. Sticking with DeAndre Ayton, let's move on to our next question. Continuing to speculate and discuss potential landing spots for DeAndre Ayton, if not back with the Phoenix Suns. So we mentioned a couple times already this morning, Flex from Jersey, technically not a reporter, but has good sources somewhere with the Phoenix Suns. He tweeted yesterday that DeAndre Ayton has expressed his desire to play elsewhere for months now within the Suns organization. He says that DA wants to get paid and he wants to be the go-to guy on a team. So with all that said, which scenario are you rooting for the Suns? Trade for Damian Lillard. Now, this could involve DA and Cam Johnson. Trade for Dame Lillard. Trade for Bradley Beal. Trade for LeBron James. Or bring back both DA and Cam Johnson with new deals.
And you could add, I guess, Siakam. Yeah. And I guess you could add Durant. The Durant seemed the least likely, but
a lot of people are responding with KD.
If Ayton's moving, I mean, this is such a nuanced question with so many different possibilities.
Sure.
If Ayton is moving on, I don't know. Of those choices, I would say Lillard.
So would I. Yeah. Even though there's J.A. Adande brought up the fact that the Suns do need some size, I think bringing in a guy like Damian Lillard, it wouldn't feel as gross as LeBron.
Not nearly as gross.
I don't want to be... I'm with you as of right now. I don't want to be part of that show, that circus. I don't want to be LeBron's next doormat.
Not yet, please. This is not trade for Shaq territory yet.
Yeah, right. There's some of that to it. And bringing him back on new deals, I think the time for that has come and gone. I was a big advocate for that last year. I think the Suns ultimately are reaping what they sowed with DeAndre Ayton. Hmm. But bringing him back, I have a hard time with
that. My favorite response to this question, though, was the one that suggests, just go out and get Jokic.
Oh, okay. Oh, why didn't we think about that?
I should have put that one up.
Yeah. I saw one that was trade DA for Rudy Gobert straight up. Don't see that happening. Dame Lillard gets 51% of the vote. Suns fans rooting for if DA and or Cam Johnson need to go, Dame Lillard can come to the Suns.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's happening. I don't think the LeBron thing's happening. But again...
Sure.
We're in the possibilities business.
Yes. Let's talk about the possibilities.
It's not happening.
30.
Not happening.
Play the Grim Reaper song.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. 33% say bring both of the guys back on new deals. 10% say trade for LeBron. I'm surprised he even got 10% of the vote. 6% say trade for Bradley Beal. Our final question. We started off the show talking about how the Valley and downtown Phoenix and Tempe all have been under construction for, what is it, 50 years now?
50 years.
It feels like 50 years at least. So we're asking for an open-ended, our open-ended question is, what is the craziest, wildest, best, or most annoying story you have involving construction or street closures? I see the look on your face, Dan. We actually got responses.
Okay, let's go right to those.
Let's go to the videotape.
How about this one from Captain? Guys, he says, no lie, I used to work at the Chandler Mall and I would walk to work. There was a porta potty in the middle of both directions of traffic before the bridge. I went in there to go to the restroom and it was the most terrifying number two. Cars whizzing by on both sides.
Oh boy.
I had to go though.
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine?
He had to
fearing
go.
Fearing for
right.
your life. Yeah, no kidding. Ralph Amsden. Says, I stayed up too late the night before my wedding. I was driving to the venue the next morning and baseline was shut down. So I asked a construction worker to wake me up when it was clear. Two groomsmen and myself, we took a 30-minute nap in my car. It sounds like Ralph.
Wow.
Ralph. Sounds about right.
That is risky.
That Indeed. Really is.
Oh, this one's kind of crazy. Last one. On the line, JY says, I was in Paris when Notre Dame was on fire a few years ago.
I remember that.
Yes. Yeah. Our hotel was right next to the cathedral, but we were on the other side of the bridge. All bridges shut down. We couldn't get to the hotel for 4+ hours, so we just drank cocktails on the curb. That's not a bad way
it's
to kill time.
Not a bad option, yeah.
Pass the
to
time.
Kill time.
Cocktails on the curb.
See, yeah, there. Yeah.
It's a good name for an album.
Yeah, or it like is. A YouTube series.
Yeah. Right.
I would like to pitch myself to host Cocktails on the Curb.
Good name for an album, but look.
The sequel to...
That album's not going to happen.
But look.
It's not going to happen.
Comedians in cars getting coffee. This is sports raiders on curbs drinking cocktails.
I love it. And like not that. Getting into a car afterward.
Yeah,
we're keeping
true.
It yeah. above board.
Exactly. Thank you, Sarah.
Yes.
Thanks to everybody
Sarah.
Who responded today on social studies. @Bickley_Murata is where that goes down. Coming up next, J.J. Watt speaking ahead of his second season in Arizona. What does he see as the next step for the Cardinals quarterback, Kyler Murray? We'll tell you that and more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
I think that just playing it out, I mean, he's done it. He's played at an extremely high level. I think it's just obviously we need to finish out a season better. I think that's, but that's not on just him. That's on all of us. I think that it's being able to do it, take us to where we need to go from a playoff standpoint, and like I said, to go win a Super Bowl. And every year in the league, you get better, you mature, you learn the game, you play differently year to year because you have more knowledge base, you have more experience, you're a year mature and wiser. So I'm looking forward to seeing his progress and looking forward to seeing the step that he takes this season.
That is J.J. Watt, a guest of Dave Pasch on the Dave Pasch podcast, which is available for consumption wherever you get your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the next step for Kyler Murray going into year four. Interesting answer. And I agree with J.J. Watt. The more you see, the more you experience, the more comfortable you feel, the more you learn, the harder you work, you're going to get better. And I think...
Yeah.
Kyler Murray certainly is not immune from that thinking, but bringing up the point of finishing a season better, not being all on Kyler Murray, he's right about that, but this is where it gets iffy for me.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years we've seen a pattern. Is it coincidence? Maybe. Is there something more to it? I think that's probably more possible about how the Cardinals have ended seasons, but they are in a situation, the reality is, when you take away your best offensive weapon, not named Kyler Murray, for six mm-hmm. games, they might have to finish the season better because the start of the season is going to be the rocky road this year.
Yeah. We assume. There's certainly adversity at the start of the season without DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think if Kyler Murray is playing at peak Kyler Murray level, I am of the belief that the team can win, regardless of who's around him, reasonably speaking. And so I do believe that if Kyler Murray comes out at MVP level, maybe even better, then I think they can win three of these games. And if they go 3-3 going into week 7, then they've got a shot, in my opinion. It's getting to that point. I think we're going to learn a lot coming up with Kyler Murray, as you and I have talked about, because In the span of 3 different weeks, May 23rd to May 25th, June 1st to June 3rd, June 6th to June 9th, those are 3 successive sets of organized team activities that are voluntary,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if you're of the belief that Cliff Kingsbury really believes what he said, that Kyler's never had an offseason to really grow, to really bond, if you really want to believe that he's interested in becoming a next level leader, if you really want to believe this plan that the Cardinals are allegedly putting together to lift this thing to a higher level, then you're going to look at that because it's going to tell you whether or not he believes the Cardinals are serious about getting a deal done. Because it's not in the window, it's not in their negotiating window that the Cardinals have kind of outlined there. These are voluntary workouts. If Kyler Murray has a modicum of belief that, yes, they're going to pay me and it's going to be all good, I don't know why he wouldn't show up for those.
I mean, I know the answer to that question, why he wouldn't.
Well, yeah, so do I.
Because one thing's trumping everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And but if you really believe the team is being sincere, then you showing up would be a good sign to them,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, he might be under that strict advice from an agent that I am not risking anything until you pay me. I am not throwing a pass until you pay me. Then maybe you got something different. But that's what I'm looking at here. Because, as you know, We've got two realities here with the Cardinals. We got the alternative reality, and then we've got the reality TV show that is sort of really what's happening here.
Yes.
And how all of that is going to get reconciled, I have no idea. But if it does get reconciled, I will have hope for this football team. Because Kyler Murray has proven to be that good when right.
Now, here's J.J. Watt talking with Dave Pasch on the podcast about his relationship with Kyler Murray.
It's there. I mean, we text message and FaceTime and things like that. We're not having dinner every single night, but we're definitely talking all the time. I mean, that's the nature of the team. You understand the leadership of the team, and you understand that the quarterback is such a vital role to the team. And any way that I can support, any way that I can help and try and make his job easier is what I'm here to do.
That's one thing that you really think about football and how it's different from every other sport.
Which is
the leaders, you basically have two teams in one. Your offense and your defense, and then your special teams off to the side a little bit, and I don't mean to demean anybody who plays special teams.
Mm-hmm.
But relationships are strange. The rosters are so big. A lot of times you're playing with guys you don't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's not the case, I don't think, in baseball with the travel and the downtime. Certainly in basketball with smaller teams, it is different. So, you know, maybe apropos of nothing. We talked, too, about the Cardinals. It's imperative, paramount, that they get off to a good start this year, even with the challenges they face. We looked at the schedule when it came out last week. Everybody kind of came to the same conclusion. Ouch, that's pretty tough. J.J. Watt also shared on the Dave Pasch podcast what he looks for first when the schedule comes out.
The first couple things you look at as a player is obviously who you're playing first, and then you look at the Thursday night game and the bye week. Those are the two big ones that you do look at, and it is a little bit later, but I mean, you also can't control it, so there's not much you can do about it. The Thursday night game being at home is definitely better than being on the road. I mean, Thursday night games are what they are, but when you don't have to travel, it does make it easier on the body for sure. But other than that, I mean, we knew all 17 teams were going to play, and we're going to play them, and I look forward to kicking it off.
Yeah, I think a lot of players, too, also look for, you know, potential weather games, especially cold weather for a team like the Cardinals going back east for cold weather games when that becomes a factor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have many of them. They don't really have any of them unless, I guess Sunday, December 18th in Denver, week 15, you could run into some weather there.
You will, yeah.
But that's it. You know, they play Minnesota, but they're in a dome. Their other late season at Atlanta in a dome, at San Francisco in week 18, you know, at the Rams in week 10. They have nothing really to worry about from a weather factor.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a benefit for them. The fact that they're playing at Seattle early, that seems to be unusual. It seems those at Seattle trips have always been late.
Yes,
and those kind of games get real dicey. Either it's raining and miserable, or it's temp moderate and okay, but you never know quite what you're going to get with that.
They're front-loaded, really, with division opponents. I mean, they have a five-week stretch from week 12 to week 17 where they don't play a division opponent. Chargers, Patriots, Broncos, Buccaneers, Falcons before they close out with San Francisco.
Wow.
So they are front-loaded in the division, definitely. Coming up next, there's been a lot of reaction, not only on this show, to the Suns' exit from the playoffs, but among the fan base, too. Some of it expected, some of it quite honestly disturbing. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome back into Bickley and Murata Mornings, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in on this not-so-shenanigans kind of Wednesday.
Yeah, it's sorely lacking shenanigans today.
Yeah, we'll get back to that maybe next week.
Okay.
When we're in the mood for a shenanigan.
Yeah. Too much heavy stuff.
We gotta
work our way through. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
For now, we're going to arizonasports.com, a fantastic website if you've never checked it out. We're going to today's poll question, which we did talk about this a little bit yesterday, but let's get back to it again. Who are you rooting for to win the NBA title? Four teams left: the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, the Golden State Warriors, or the Dallas Mavericks. Who are you rooting for? Not who do you think will win?
Boston. That's my pick. I don't want to cast for both of us, because I know you have a different answer, don't you?
I don't know. Yesterday, I kind of felt like I might cheer for the Mavs, and today I'm not feeling it. I don't know if I'm going to cheer for anybody. I think I've kind of circled around.
That's fair.
I'm going to wait till after tonight's game, because last night's game didn't sway me to like either of those teams. Boston or Miami.
Sure. All right, I'll place a vote for Vince's pick then, the Boston Celtics. And there we go. 35% of our voters went with Boston. 27% say they'll go for the Miami Heat, so the two Eastern Conference teams getting the most votes. 21% say they'll go for the Golden State Warriors. 17% say the Mavs.
Okay.
Maybe as a show of respect to what the Mavs were able to accomplish.
A tip of the 10-gallon hat.
There you go. It's right on their old logo. There you go. There's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
And the Dallas Mavericks have defeated the Suns handily, 123-90. A huge victory for Coach Jason Kidd and this Dallas ball club, 123-90.
That's how it sounded in the final stages on Sunday when Al McCoy called it on the Suns radio network. There was just a weird, you were in the building, Bic, there was just a weird feel to the entire night. Once the ball got tipped, it was just, and as somebody who's somewhat responsible for trying to get the crowd into the game, it was impossible to do it.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's more the basketball team than you. I think that
it
was.
Is.
I think that was the lesson of that game. And you're great at what you do. Yeah, I have issue with what they make you do on occasion because I know how great you are in the vocal arena. So again, let Vinny cook. Let Vince cook.
You mean that not literally, because nobody wants to eat my cookie.
No, but you're excellent at what you do.
And that was an extreme example of this energy being sapped out of a crowd. But in what followed, I mean, just leaving the way I normally leave, I met up with my son after the game. He was shell-shocked. There was just, Mavericks fans, and there was more of them than you think.
That was disgusting.
It was very much like I think, and I was not there for game four in Denver last year. You were there, but when the Suns polished off the Nuggets after they broke Nikola Jokic's brain, the Nuggets fans exited. And they just kind of said, all right, it's your time to celebrate. And Suns fans took over the arena from what it seemed like. And a lot of people have verified that. There was a feel of that on Sunday. Mavericks fans were very celebratory, and Suns fans didn't have anything to say. There was no resistance put up at all.
You couldn't.
There was no way to defend what you saw. But what we've seen, at least through my eyes, what I've seen in the last couple of days, and maybe I'm buying into the extreme viral stuff, is the turning on the Suns from members of the fan base. I've seen video of Chris Paul's jersey being burned. I've seen video of a group of people stomping on a Devin Booker jersey, which to me, that's just idiotic behavior. When we've seen situations like that, it's for reasons where a fan base felt slighted. Like this person wanted to move elsewhere. The LeBron James going to Miami is the most extreme example. Cleveland fans were pissed, and they had a right to be pissed. I don't understand this, even if it's just a couple of scattered reactions, but I do believe there are people that are mad at the Suns and have given up on the Suns for what they put forth in Game 7.
I believe there are people so angry and so hurt and so confused that they don't know what to do with their emotions. And I think those that do not have a lot of emotional maturity don't know quite how to express it. I do think people that take videos of themselves burning jerseys or breaking televisions, I think they're all posers. I think they're all doing it for social media currency. And I think that's a joke. Because if you're a real Suns fan, and by that I mean somebody who's actually invested their heart, their emotion, their time, maybe even their spending money into this basketball team over the last couple of years, you're not suddenly hating on Chris Paul. You're not suddenly hating on Devin Booker. I get being real angry at DA right now with some of the stuff you're hearing. I get that. That's natural. But you don't just throw everything out.
Yeah, the people that are doing those things we're not the people that in the summer of 2020 were hanging on whether or not the Suns were going to win in the bubble.
Yeah.
They certainly weren't present and following the everyday occurrences of the Suns back when they were a 19-win team the year before that. I agree with you, but it is somewhat, and I'm wondering too, like when October rolls around, what is the buzz going to be about this team? We don't know what the roster looks like. We don't know what kind of changes they make, but what kind of lasting effects does the exhaustion, and we're running a promo that, you know, Gambo's reaction to all of it, where he called it a 95 game waste of time, like investing something for so heavily for so long, only to have it end that way.
It's not a waste of time because diehard Suns fans, this will be part of the journey. So it's not necessarily a waste of time. If they happen to win it next year, it will make next year sweeter because of this. That's the way it works. But you know that.
But that was the thinking this year.
Well, yeah, right.
And patience is not exactly in abundance these days among sports fans or people in general.
No. And again, so it's just the hunger to finish this job and get this right is really what I'm going to be looking at. And that's going to be what James Jones can cook up in his head in terms of what he's learned and added. I thought he did a great job going into this year. I think a trade deadline, again, a little timid. We have to understand that we don't know what's, there's a tremendous amount of ownership weirdness right now. Tremendous amount. And we don't know who's going to be writing the checks and paying the bills and what they're authorizing and what they're not. I just hope that there's an incredible hunger there to get this right. I hope Devin Booker takes a real long, hard look in the mirror and stops chasing referees around the court and focuses on becoming that dude. I hope a lot of things. I wish a lot of things. I'm trying in my head to figure out where this thing went wrong. But I do agree with you that on the margins, the Suns fans, these displays of anger by burning. I saw one of burning Chris Paul's jersey. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All the stuff that guy has done to this organization to get us to this point.
Yeah.
Right. We wouldn't be in the position to be this upset about disgusting. A Suns playoff exit without him.
Yeah.
It's crass.
And if you're one of those fans that is turned off by the presence of bandwagon jumpers, you're probably pretty happy because a lot of those bandwagon jumpers aren't going to be there from game one.
Here's what I really hate. And I saw this coming as well. I really hate the people now who are mocking the Suns for all their goofball dancing as if it's a sign of weakness. As if, see, if they were home studying film with Kyler Murray. It's a joke there. Nuanced joke. You know what I mean? It's like, I hate people who do that. I hate people who wait till they get the results to level their opinion.
Show me a basketball team that doesn't have fun. Pre-game.
Well, but nobody has ever had more fun than the Suns, but I love that about them.
That was part of their chemistry.
It was a huge deal.
Did you read the article about the tunnel, the whole routine? There was a whole article about that, too.
I don't know how much time Mikal Bridges put into his little routine with every single teammate. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. It's choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about them. And now people are using it against them. You're only doing that because you have the ability to mock them. Remember, people, blowing out somebody's candle doesn't make your candle burn brighter. Never forget it.
Speak it, Dan Bickley.
Drop the mic. Actually, you can. It's on its stand.
It drops by itself occasionally.
Worry about your own damn light.
Right. Worry about
dim,
your own
it's
light.
Not because of them.
Right.
Text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, some final thoughts on this Wednesday. It's Bickley and Murata mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day.
Remix action. By mistake.
Is this add your own vocals?
I want to break free.
Oh, there we go.
Nobody can do it like Freddie did it.
Sadly.
Yeah. You were working on your Freddie Mercury impression back there, Jared, are you?
Don't encourage him.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. What we got?
He's got the fist pump going.
Yeah, that is good.
For those who can't see.
There is a guy. The guy's name escapes me, but he's made a career of being a Freddie Mercury sound-alike. And he was actually used. His vocals were used in a blend with Rami Malek, the actor who played Freddie Mercury.
You mean that wasn't all Rami Malek's lyrics? Shocking.
It was partly him.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not talking about Adam Lambert, are you?
No.
Okay. He's pretty freaking amazing, though.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
I gotta find the guy's name. It's amazing. It's
Mark
something or other. Yeah.
I've seen the videos.
Yeah,
it is
crazy.
I've seen him do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Nobody's going to listen to Bohemian Rhapsody. Why are we playing Queen today, Vic?
Oh, we're playing I Want to Break Free in honor of DeAndre Ayton. Who wants to break free, Vinny? Allegedly.
At least we've heard, maybe.
Reportedly. Apparently. We were just talking about, remember when DA bricked those free throws in the third and people were booing him? Oh, I tell you, I can't get a break around here. Oh. My coach hates me.
17
Everyone
minutes.
Blames everything on me. No one passes me the ball. I tell you, I don't get no respect.
Could you have...
Where's my joystick?
Joysticks? Nobody's used a joystick in 25 years. But
where's my controller?
There you go.
My buzzing controller.
I mean, if you would have said like a couple months ago that the season would end with the home fans booing the team off the court,
I know.
That is unfathomable.
No,
I agree with you. Ugh. It's never going to make sense.
Is anything more Phoenix than what we just experienced?
No, that might be the ultimate Phoenix.
I mean, you mentioned it. Like, who would have ever thought we would have something that would top the Cardinals season?
Who would have thought we'd have ever had anything that would have topped the pathos of the Steve Nash Suns and all of those series?
Topped it. There you go. Here's today's.
You said it in my bed. You say, here, Cardinals, hold my beer.
Here's today's Song of the Day by Queen.
Bickley and Murata, going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Little daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia for you. The NBA draft lottery was held last night. The Orlando Magic have the number one overall pick for the fourth time in franchise history, which is a lot, but it's not the most. Speaking of tortured fan bases, the Cleveland Cavaliers have had the number one overall pick in the NBA draft 6 times. Your question today is,
right,
name the 6 players they drafted number one overall.
6 times. Wow.
The Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes.
LeBron James?
That's one.
Anthony Bennett?
2. Ooh.
Andrew Wiggins?
Andrew Wiggins? 3.
Brad Daugherty?
4.
Good job, Jarrett.
You got 2 more.
Ron Harper?
Nope.
No, that's silly.
What era are we talking?
One was early 70s.
Jim Jones.
And one was in the last 10 to 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Missing a big one.
Kyrie Irving.
In 2011. 1971, that's the tough one.
Yeah.
Austin Carr. Yeah.
Okay.
Austin, Texas.
6 times. The Suns have had 1.
And that was.
And the Cavs recently. And the Suns are about the same age franchise, by the way.
Mm.
But they got a title.
Well, this is the. You said this is the Magic's what number?
Did you say 10th?
4th.
No, 4th. 10th?
That's what I thought he said, but it's Cleveland.
This came up in social studies, or actually Rush Hour Reboot, and it came up today. Tom Brady has agreed as part of a new Netflix series to be the subject of a comedy roast called Greatest Roast of All Time.
Yeah, just because we don't get enough Tom Brady.
It will be filmed in 2023, which gives a lot of comedians a lot of time to prepare some material. Call me a hypocrite if you want. I love roast comedy. Mm-hmm. I can watch them all day. In fact, sometimes when I go into YouTube rabbit holes, I just look up roast jokes. They're funny. It's always struck me as funny. I would never want to be the subject of a roast.
Mm-hmm.
But
because the good ones will get you to the point where you take it personally. They'll poke you enough
I think it's an amazing psychological experiment.
It's amazing.
When you're sitting up there and people are just making fun of you and just being brutal about it, how do you handle it? Now, Tom Brady appears to be pretty well-adjusted.
But you usually get to tell them one or two topics they cannot use. Sometimes you'll say everything's on the board, but sometimes you say, like, you cannot make fun of whatever.
Yeah, well, then that's
my
not a roast.
Or something.
I'm really
sorry.
Looking forward to it. We need to knock this Brady guy down a peg.
It's too bad Gilbert Godfrey died.
Was he the best?
True. Oh, he was amazing. Most of the great ones don't do it anymore, or they've passed away. But there's time. Time for somebody to rise.
Rise,
thanks
please.
To Kevin Arnovitz.
Be
and Ryan,
the hero we need.
We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke up next. Have a great day, everybody.